Welcome to Victory Christian Center of Rancho Mirage, California. We are a house of mercy and a church for the harvest, shaking the desert with the power and the love of God, taking Jesus to the world from the Coachella Valley. We pray that the word that you are about to listen to will increase and strengthen your faith. Enjoy today's message. Victorious, Elaine, victorious. Over sin, over death, over wrong, over us. Victorious, Elaine, victorious.
This is my Bible. This is God speaking to me. I am who the Bible says I am. I have what God's word says I have, and I can do what the scriptures say I can do. Now, I want to tell you that for me, over the course of my walk with God, and I received the Lord when I was 5 in a little Baptist church, and received the baptism of the Holy Spirit when I was 12 in an Assembly of God Bible, and then I was water baptized Nazarene. And then received the baptism of the Holy Spirit in an Assembly of God Bible study. And so I don't know if I'm a Baptist Nazacostal or what I am. So in my journey with the Lord, being a Baptist Nazacostal, prayer. So people get this impression of prayer that it's some difficult thing, or you have to know key words and have little colloquialisms and those kinds of things. But I think prayer, if we just see it as fellowshipping and communing with our Heavenly Father. And so we've talked about different things. So I'm going to review real quickly and then just give you a couple of verses today, because I know most of you have been here. We talked about warfare prayer the first week. And we had 4 points. Number one, acknowledging that we have an adversary. First Peter. Peter says, be sober, be vigilant. You had an adversary who roams around seeking whom he may devour. Jesus said, the thief comes to steal and to kill and to destroy. So we know we have an adversary. Jesus went on to say, though, but I am come that you might have abundant life. You might have life and that have that life abundantly. And so it is important for us to know that we do have an adversary, and his job is to discourage us, to distract us, to derail us, and to hinder us from the joyful journey that the Lord wants us to have with him. And Jesus said, even though that thief does come, I am come to be the solution to his devices. I'm come that you might have life and you might have it abundantly. So we talked about 4 points. Number one, acknowledging the adversary. Then we talked about accepting our God-given authority. In prayer, we exercise our authority. In prayer, we align our faith and our expectation with the word of God and the nature of God. Be real careful who you listen to. Jesus said, take heed what you hear. And a lot of angry Christians who want to attribute their anger to God. God says he's angry. Well, no, you're just angry. One great quote, God created man in his image, and then man returned the favor. Some of you will get it later. God created us in his image, and then we want to create him in ours. And if we're angry, we want him to be angry. God, aren't you angry? Yes, I'm angry. You've just got pastored right there. Accepting our God-given authority. We have authority in Christ. It's important for us to exercise that authority. In fact, in the book of Genesis, when this whole thing started, God said, let's create man in our image and let's give him dominion. We're dominion people. And so that got lost because of sin in the garden, but the gospel in Jesus was about restoring that. Still, we live in a fallen, sinful world, but that authority has been given. Jesus said this in Matthew 28, all power in heaven and earth is given to me. Now you go, therefore. Well, Jesus, if you have all the power and all the authority, why would we go? Because he tells us to go in that authority and in his name. and to do what he would do and to say what he would say and to touch where he would touch and to encourage where he would encourage and to feed those whom he would feed and to be him in the earth. Are you with me? And we don't do that in our own power. We do it in his power and in his authority and in his name. And then it has fruit that's different from just handing someone a cup of soup. Thirdly, we put on our armor. It's important for us to know that we are clothed in armor that makes us greater than the adversary that we face, the enemy of our soul. That we put on the breastplate of righteousness and we take the shield of faith and our feet are shod with the preparation of the gospel. Loins girt about with truth. All those, that armor that Ephesians talks about. And then we aim our artillery and in the form of prayer. That's what we've talked about. And so, warfare, prayer. Then we talked about if you're straining in prayer, you need training in prayer. And that's kind of where I was. It was a strain. I thought, I kind of shamed myself about it. You're not doing it right. You're not loud enough. Don't pray long enough. It's not loud enough. It's not religious enough. It's not, you know, and I would just defeat myself in prayer because I was trying to base my prayer life off of what someone else in their prayer series said about how prayer needs to look. And let me just encourage you, just lay aside, you know, when David decided to take on Goliath, Saul said this, hey, put on this armor. And David put on Saul's armor, and he said, I can't go with this. He put off Saul's armor, and he took out his slingshot. I can go with this. So don't try to put on someone else's armor to do the battle that you're facing. Be you. Flow with the Lord how the Lord has used you before and walked with you, and keep it simple and don't make it complicated and certainly don't make it religious. In fact, Jesus said, you know, your long prayers, you're just wasting your breath, to the religious people of his day. So keep it simple and keep it sweet. Here's what Jesus said. Come unto me, all that labor and are heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I'm meek and lowly in heart, and you'll find rest for your soul. My yoke is easy and my burden is light. So if someone has tried to make it heavy in prayer, and certainly the Lord can lead us deep in prayer, and as we journey with him in that prayer life, for many in this room, it will be a very deep experience. But I just want to get everyone in the room praying. And Jesus said, my yoke is easy and my burden is light in prayer. And then he taught us to pray this way in Matthew's Gospel, chapter 6. Jesus said, pray this way. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. We prayed this prayer last week. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. How many of you that say amen to that?
Amen.
Give us this day our daily bread. Yeah, I like that provision of God. Forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Aren't you glad for his mercy?
Yes.
Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Now that's the Lord's Prayer. It takes about 20 to 25 seconds to pray that prayer. And having read it, I am just worn out. Well, no, I'm not actually. Because his yoke is easy and his burden is light. And you can pray that prayer. It can become a religious rote prayer for you, or it can be a beautiful expression of who God is and who you need him to be, and all really a very complete, at least, pattern of prayer. And so it is important for us not to strain in prayer. And then today I want to conclude this message by saying that prayer is not fair, because God blesses prayers. And it's so important for us to understand that we don't earn our relationship or our connection with God. That's a free gift. Nothing you can do to deserve that. Righteousness has been deposited in our lives because we've said yes to Jesus. And that's it, yes to Jesus. And at Candlelight Communion, I talked about the thief on the cross and His simple expression of faith. Here it is. Lord, remember me. It wasn't a long prayer. He didn't have time to be water baptized or go to a confirmation class. He didn't have time to teach Sunday school. He didn't have time to give tithe or take an offering. Or he didn't have time to give the Lord in worship. He didn't have time. All he had was that moment to express his faith in that simplicity. And Jesus said, today you'll be with me in paradise. So there's no, certainly is a case in point of not earning anything. He was a thief and a robber and whatever he was. And he was dying as a result of that on that cross. That was his penalty for his crime. So we have to get clear on that we nothing in our in terms of our relationship with God is contingent on performance. At the same time, we participate in what is provided for us with action. Faith without works is dead. Faith without works is dead. There has to be corresponding action. So worshiping the Lord is not how you get him to like you. Worshiping the Lord and getting your favorite CD out and dancing around your living room or whatever you do to worship the Lord. Maybe it's quietly listening to something very soft. That's more my style. I like real worshipful Terry McCowan kind of things. And just worshiping the Lord. I love our soaking service on Wednesdays at noon right here in this room. Just quiet and not even say anything, just to be in his presence and to soak in his presence and to express worship to him. And that doesn't make God like me anymore, but it does benefit me, and there are blessings and benefits of being a worshiper. Are you with me?
Yes.
Giving, you don't receive the Lord because you gave so much, but you participate in the blessing of a giver by giving.
Yes.
You can't claim giver blessings if you're not a giver. Stingy people, listen. You have to listen to me. And you're here. I mean, I'll just look up this way. So be a giver. Have a generous spirit. Make a determination. If you've always been stingy, decide right now. It doesn't take, don't have to make a big deal out of it. Just go ahead and decide right this moment. I'm not going to be stingy like that anymore. I choose to be generous. And if you're not going to be a person of prayer, you're going to miss out on some of this stuff. So in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1, it says, faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. Now, let me give you an example that you have faith. How many of you believe that your loved ones who are believers and love the Lord and they've passed from this life, they're in heaven? You believe that? And how many of you believe that someday you're going to heaven? I believe that. And heaven's a good place. It's not a state of mind. It's not a fairy tale. Jesus said, I'm going to prepare a place for you. That where I am, you may be also. Heaven is a place. I'm going there. I've never seen heaven. I've never been to heaven. I've never touched heaven. But faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things that we've not yet seen. Right? How many of you ever seen your brain? But you believe you have one, I'm guessing. Okay. All right, good. Let's skip on down to verse 6. Without faith, it is impossible to please God. For he that comes to God must believe that God is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. So in seeking and pursuing and communing and connecting and relating and fellowshipping with God, God is a rewarder of that. It's not a reward of being saved. That's a free gift. That's a Lord remember me moment. That, or even yes, or this prayer, Jesus! That can be the moment that you become a new creature. But to walk out the fullness of our inheritance in Christ calls for participation. Not works, but participation. And part of participation is being a diligent seeker of God. Lord, I want to hear your voice. Here I am. I'm listening. Lord, I want to know your will for my life, and I'm ready to hear it. And diligently seeking him causes prayer ain't fair. Because other people aren't, if they're not diligently seeking, they're kind of skipping through life and they're not really pressing in, they're going to miss out on some of those blessings. All right, let's look at one other verse here. Turn with me to the book of James, just a couple of pages over from where you are in Hebrews, and we'll conclude. First of all, I want you to see this in verses 16 and 17. These are some of my favorite verses. Do not err, my beloved brethren. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and comes down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. Every good gift and every perfect gift comes from the Father of lights. He never changes. There is no variableness with him. There's not even a shadow of turning with him. Every good gift and every perfect gift comes from him. Here is what I want to tell you. Very important for us to realize that we do have an adversary who's seeking to devour us, but we do have an advocate whose name is Jesus, who came to give us abundant life. That is so important when you become a person of prayer. And a lot of people get discouraged from praying because they have been confused by religious people. And there are people who would have you believe that God, sometimes he's a healing God, but sometimes he's a make you sick God. Sometimes he wants to bless you, God, but sometimes he wants you to go broke. Now, if you don't have clear in your mind that God is for you, and that God is with you, and that Jesus is an example of how God is. Jesus never, you never read in the Gospels, and Jesus made Susie sick. Jesus was a healing Jesus. Jesus never made people poor. He blessed them and provided for them and multiplied loaves and fishes and supernaturally brought provision to people. That's his nature. That he's the same today. Are you with me?
Yes.
We get real clear on that. And I harped on it these past several weeks. But that is so vital. Otherwise, you'll be discouraged already in even beginning to pray. If you can't discern or decipher, is this God or not God? Because the scripture says that we submit ourselves to God, but we resist the devil. So if you don't know what to submit to and to receive and what to resist, you'll be confused in prayer. So every good gift and every perfect gift comes from God. Jesus invited us to consider in three questions what we really believe. He said, if your child asked for bread, would you give them a stone? And if you have kids, if they said, we want cereal, and you go out in the driveway and get some gravel and put it in a little bowl and pour some milk out for it. Of course we wouldn't do that if you loved your children. And if they ask for an egg, would you give them a scorpion? And of course, no. The answer was to Jesus' questions in that day, no. If my child asked for an egg, I would not give them a scorpion. And then he asked the third question. He said, well then, how much more will your heavenly Father give good things to them that ask him? So we have to be so confident in the goodness of God. Hold your place in James. I'm going to read a couple things to you real quickly. Just hold your place right there. Hold your place. I'll quote these, and we can put them on the screen if you want to. Psalm 35, verse 27. This is from the Bible now. Let them shout for joy and be glad, those that favor my righteous cause. Does anyone in this room favor God's righteous cause? Okay, good. This is for you. I'm encouraging you to shout for joy. Let them shout for joy and be glad, those that favor my righteous cause. Yea, let them say continually, so I'd encourage you to say this quite a bit. Let them say continually, let the Lord be magnified who has pleasure in the prosperity of his servant. Yeah. We're supposed to say, so let's just say it. Let the Lord be magnified who has pleasure in the prosperity of his servant. Okay, let me read something else to you. Psalm 103. This is a psalm of David. Here David says this. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits, who forgives all of our iniquities, who heals all of our diseases, who redeems our life from destruction, who crowns our life with loving kindness and tender mercies, who satisfies our mouth with good things so that our youth is renewed like the eagles. The Lord is merciful, and he is gracious, and he is slow to anger, and he is plenteous in mercy. That's our God. And so when we go to him in prayer, we have to know that he is for us and he's happy when we're blessed. Are you with me? Okay. James 1, we'll conclude right here. Here we're concluding now. My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations. You know that tests and trials of life come. But we can respond to that by saying, well, bless God. Knowing that the trying of your faith works patience. And let patience have her perfect work, that you may be perfect and entire or complete, wanting nothing. So God wants, even when problems come, he wants us to face those in such a way that it ends up, here's the end result, that we're perfect and complete, lacking nothing. That's where you're headed. Oh, but Pastor, you don't know the dilemma I face. I have good news for you, as I said earlier. Here's where you're headed to. If you will respond in faith and let patience have its perfect work, you're going to end up in a place of being perfect and entire, wanting nothing. But if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God that gives to all men liberally and upbraideth not, and it will be given. But let him ask in faith nothing wavering, for he that wavers is like a wave of the sea, driven by the wind and tossed. Verse 7, let not that man think he'll receive anything from the Lord, for a double-minded man is unstable in all of his ways. So if we're double-minded in praying, maybe God will, maybe God won't. Maybe God caused this, maybe he wants to fix it. Maybe God allowed this, maybe he's going to resolve the issue. If we're double-minded like that, then we're going to pray amiss. We have to say, God, you're for me. You're my heavenly Father. You love me. Healing is the children's bread. You delight in my prosperity. You daily load me with benefits. I don't want to forget any of the benefits. We have to come to him with such confidence. Why people are confused is because religious leaders who feel like they have to have an answer for why tough times come to good people will make up an answer. And if you find someone that tells you that they can explain why circumstances arise in your life that seem contrary to what your inheritance is that you read in Scripture, do not listen to that person. Because nobody can figure that out. We just have to continue to pick ourselves up and walk by faith. And if we have a faith disappointment, we have to say, okay, Lord, I know you're good. I know your nature. So I'm going to get back up here and keep moving. And that the working of faith and the trying of my patience is going to bring me to a place of being perfect and entire, wanting nothing. So hang in there and pray, but pray in faith. And the people, and I've been seeing it for a long, long, long time, that'll come into your hospital room and they'll pat you on the hand and say, just rejoice because the Lord has brought this on you to teach you something. And he caused this or he allowed this. And because he you got to learn a lesson here. And we can certainly learn a lesson no matter what. God won't waste an opportunity to teach us and to help us and to cause us to mature. I understand that part. But it doesn't mean he precipitated or created that circumstance. And so let me say this, and I'm done. People who say that stuff don't believe it anyway themselves. Amen. They really don't. And the proof of that is that they will pat you on the hand and say that religious stuff with a very religious tone of voice and a kind of a religious look on their face. And they'll go home and send you a get well card. God wants you to be sick. Get well soon. See what I mean? The goodness in them, which is there by God, there's nothing good in ourselves. The goodness in them that comes from compassion and kindness and concern, that's the nature of God within them, will send you a get well card because they know that's what it's the right thing. Are you with me? All right. So I'm going to shut my mouth. Lord, you are good and your mercy endures forever. Lord, you are good and your mercy endures forever. Oh, and just like Jehoshaphat and the choir marched right down to the enemy camp singing, the Lord is good and his mercy endures forever, we say it over our own lives. And Lord, we know tough times seem to come our way, but you are the answer, not the problem. Lord, we want to be so clear in prayer, so confident in prayer, so excited in prayer, because we know that you are good and your mercy endures forever.
Thank you for tuning in today. We would love to see and to meet you at one of our weekend services. We are located at 34500 Bob Hope Drive in Rancho Mirage, California. Our services are on Sunday at 9 and 11 a.m. and 6 p.m. Please check out our website for more information at www.victorychristian.org and for the most up-to-date, exciting events that are taking place at Victory. We pray that you would prosper in every way and be in health just as your soul prospers. You are victorious.